Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
And we'll just share some thoughts with Genesis chapter 41 that I see that could be a blessing to us. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of that river 7 well-favored kine in flat flesh. And they fed in the meadow, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, dreamed a second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up and after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captains of the guard. We told him, he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood up and upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat flesh and well favored, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, such as I'd never seen in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first 7 fat kind. When they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up, one stalk, full and good, and behold, 7 ears withered thin, and blasted with east wind, sprung up after them, and the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years. The 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenty years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such as one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in a vesture of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. Side note, 30 years, he was sold into slavery at the age of 17. That means 2 years we know of in prison. So that means 11 years in Potiphar's house and in prison combined. And then the 2 years also in prison, and that would make up the 13 years that he was in bondage. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And Joseph was 30 years old. I already read that. And in the 7th plenteous year, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was around about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. The 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph he had said, and the dearth was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. Let's pray. Now, Father, you know that this is a lengthy chapter. There's so much in it that you've allowed us to see some wonderful stuff, some wonderful truths. It's just a great story. It's kind of like the cherry on the top of a life that has been so put down for 13 years, and you've kind of finally brought it to pass. And I'm so thankful that we get to see this. It's a great reminder that when we go through hard trials, no matter what we go through, it'll always come to pass. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that we get to see that in the life of Joseph. And I pray that you'll help us this evening as we continue this thought in Genesis 41. And we want to see some great truths found here. So if it can be a help to these people, I pray that you'll allow me to say it in a way that would be a blessing. And Father, if someone needs something specific, and Lord, if it's not even a part of my passage of Scripture, if you'll allow me to say it, I'll just try to follow the Holy Spirit's guiding. Please use me, and I appreciate what you've done for us today and the reminders of who you are and how you want us to come to you, how you want us to address you. You are our Father. Thank you for being a wonderful Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's just look right into this. Number one, I want you to see God working. God working. You know, God was working this whole time on Joseph's behalf. 13 years kind of reminds you of going through school. Kindergarten through 12th grade, 13 years of schooling, the school of hard knocks, the school of pits, the school of Potiphar being a servant, the school of prison, and now, finally, all of the lessons that Joseph had been taught, the final exam came, and he passed with flying colors. I want you to see that God was working on Joseph's behalf. God wasn't going to leave Joseph in the prison. God was working to put him on the throne. But he was also working on Jacob's behalf. God knew what Jacob would need in 7 years. Jacob, the one that now is called Israel, the one that has the Abrahamic covenant attached to his name, is fixing to go through some really difficult times. God didn't reveal the famine to Jacob. God revealed the famine to Pharaoh. But because God revealed the famine to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had Joseph, and God was with Joseph, Jacob was going to be okay too. Jacob didn't even know he needed to be okay. God was watching out on Joseph's behalf, and God is watching out on Jacob's behalf. Friend, God knows where you're at. He knows if you're in Potiphar's house. He knows if you're in a pit. He knows if you're chained and bound and imprisoned by something. He knows where you're at. Don't give up. Stay the course. Don't get weary in well-doing. The pit, the prison won't last forever. There is a palace coming. But I want you to see, God also knows what you'll need in 7 years from now too. Not a person in here knows what's coming up in the next 7 days, let alone 7 years. But God does. And I want you to know that God's working on your behalf if you're a child of God. If you're a follower of Christ, He's working on your behalf. And you may not understand it, and you may not see it, just like Jacob doesn't understand it, and Jacob never saw it coming. But God was looking out for His children. He was looking out for Joseph, who was in the pit, and He was looking out for those that didn't even know they needed to be looked out for. God has our future in His hand, and some of us worry and fret about the future. There's no reason to worry and fret about the future. Let me just tell you something. You may not have one, so stop worrying about it. Because in eternity, there is no time. And since there is no time, there is no future. But God has your life and my life in His hands. And He has a purpose for you while you're here. You may not even know what it is, but He does. Do you think that Joseph knew his purpose in life for the last 13 years? I mean, if I were to take Joseph and say, "All right, Joseph, let me tell you something. You're in the pit. You're going to be sold to your uncle. And they're going to take you down to Egypt, and you're going to be sold into slavery. But don't worry about it, man. For 13 years, your life is going to be miserable. It's going to be awful. But you're going to be the second in command of Egypt someday. Hang in there." Joseph had no clue. As far as Joseph knew, he was going to die in prison, as far as he knew. But he still was faithful to God. Whether you're promised the palace or not, and you're not, I want you to know that you and I should be faithful to God. And I want you to know that God has your back and has your future in His hand. He is looking out for you, even if you don't even know He needs to be. He is. The second thing that I see in this passage of Scripture is God deserves our lives to be clean. Isn't it interesting? It says here in this passage of Scripture, and it came to pass, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, verse 14, and they brought him hastily. Pharaoh said, "Go get Joseph," and they go and get him hastily. But before they present him to the king, even though the king's in a hurry, they stop, and Joseph goes to the beautician and gets his hair done, gets shaved, takes a shower, and gets clean clothes. Why? Because there's no way in the world that they're going to present a filthy life to the Pharaoh. And if Pharaoh deserves someone to be clean to come into His presence, how much more does our Heavenly Father deserve for our lives to be clean too? Now, God does the cleaning. Let's never forget that. But He deserves to use a clean vessel. And I thought, wow, they're going to hastily grab Joseph out of prison and painstakingly take the time to clean him up. Because there's no way in the world that they were going to bring a man to their king dirty, and yet we want to live our lives as filthy as we want to and expect God to be okay with it. What are you thinking? God deserves our best, true. I remember an old timer in Tennessee, a godly man, a great man. He's in heaven now. He would say this. He would say, listen, folks, God deserves your best. You should come to church in your best. And if your best is overalls, wear your best overalls. Not about wearing a tie or a suit or a brand new shirt, but wear your give God your best. If it's your best jeans that have holes in them, if that's the best you got, wear them. He deserves our best, doesn't He? It's a mental thing, really. You know, there are some practices that I put forth that are not in Scripture. They're not in Scripture. There's no place in the Bible that says, thou shalt not place anything on top of the Bible. That bothers me. I have to stop. I have made it a practice since I was in fourth grade. Because I was taught in school that my teacher said, you should never put anything on top of the Bible. That's all she said. It was fourth grade down to the school that I went to. She says, you know, that's God's Word. It should always take priority. And from the fourth grade until this day, it bothers me to see something on top of a Bible. I will go through the church auditorium, and if I see somebody put papers on their Bibles, if it's rearranged, it wasn't the cleaning lady, it was me. If I see a Bible on the floor, I was walking downstairs and I saw a Bible on the floor. I had just washed my hands. And for you that know how important that is to me, that's an important thing. And my hands were clean. And I was going to go eat a hot dog. And I was walking by and I looked over and on the floor under a chair was a Bible. And I said, well, it's okay. And I took five more steps and I said, it's not okay. And I went back and I picked up the Bible and I put it on a chair and I went and washed my hands again. Those are just simple practices that I put in. There's nothing in the Bible about that. To me, my mind, here's how I work. I take care of the things that I feel that are valuable. I do. I mean, if I find it valuable, I take care of it. Your teenagers do too, right? They have those PlayStation 4s or 5s or 6s or whatever they are, Xbox 700s or whatever they are. And man, those controls are like, you know, they're sacred. You know, everything else is thrown around, but not that, until they get mad. Hey, listen, I want you to know that we should be putting into practice giving God our best. I just think there's a mental thing that happens there. I think that you and I need, come to church, however, you know, hey, I'll never deny somebody from coming in, however, unless it's immodest and immoral and we can't handle it. And it's not something that is pleasing to God and it's just vulgar, then I'll stop it. But, you know, I've never had a dress requirement to come through those back doors. But I just got to be honest with you. If you know Christ as your Savior, He deserves your best and you ought to give it to Him. And I'm not telling you what your best is. I don't know. That's, honestly, if you see me in my office typically before church, I do not look like this because this isn't on and this isn't on. This comes on as soon as I have to put it on and it goes off as soon as I can get it off. Not because I like wearing suits. I'd rather be in jeans and a t-shirt. And a lot of churches evidently felt the same way and they did it. I don't feel like that's necessary and I don't think that's best. I think that I should put forth some effort to give God a little bit better. It's just a side note. It's nothing. You're like, well, I'm not wearing it. I don't care if you're wearing a suit or a tie. It doesn't bother me. I just want you to give God your best, not just in your dress, but in your actions and your attitude and everything. He deserves it. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Joseph is in prison and they give him a shave and a new coat just so he can go see the Pharaoh. And we think that we can just come to God and, hey, God, hey, you know, hey, bro, what's up, God? Me and God, you know, the man upstairs. What's up with this? You know, I remember back in the 70s, they used that terminology a lot, and I heard a lot of preachers preach against that terminology because that's just a sign of disrespect. He's not the man upstairs. He's God. He's holy. You don't forget who He is. Yes, He's our Father, but He's our Holy Father. You can always go to Him, but I think the closer you and I get to the Lord, the more we want to present to Him and be our best. We can do nothing without Him, but I just find it interesting that Joseph gets cleaned up, and I believe that God deserves our best. I also want you to notice that God deserves the credit. Pharaoh said, understand that you can interpret dreams. And Joseph's like, oh, wait, no, I can't do anything. I can't do that. But God can. It's not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. How many times have we taken credit for something that God has given us? Well, that was just a wonderful, wonderful song. Yeah, I've got a good voice, don't I? Boy, you sure, that sure is nice. Yeah, I got a lot of talents, don't I? How many times do you take credit for the things that God has done through you? You know, I there's just no doubt about it. God has blessed Victory Baptist Church, and that's where it stops. It's not because of me or my dad. It's because God's done it. God has done it. Now, when man gets involved, man can do some things. They can build nice buildings. They can have church services. But it's not blessed by God. And therefore, it's not really pleasing to God. I want a church that's blessed by God. And I'll tell you what, if you and I do the right things and we realize that God does it all, we just want to be clean vessels, then He's going to deserve all the credit. He deserves all the credit. Your children being reared right, aren't you glad you didn't mess that up? Because you probably did, but God's grace trumped your mess ups. Right? Because I haven't met a perfect parent yet. Except for my wife, of course. I haven't met a perfect parent yet. And you look at that parent and say, well, all four of their children are in the ministry, and oh, how wonderful. They must be great parents. Yeah, God's just a gracious God is what that is. God's just a gracious God. Now, I'm not saying that parents shouldn't do the right thing. Don't get me wrong. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. I'm not saying that there's not some effort that you need to put forth and you need to follow Christ. I'm telling you, you're not perfect and you've messed up enough for your kids to go astray. That's what I'm telling you. We like sheep have gone astray. But I'm thankful for the grace of God. God deserves the credit. Joseph knows that. I mean, here's Joseph been put in prison, put in the pit, his life is just really bad. It can't get much worse. It's just a really bad life. I mean, from 17 to 30, the young adult life of Joseph is just what everybody else would consider, hey, let's have fun, let's go live it up, let's have a good time, let's enjoy life, we're young, we're youthful, we can do this and that. Joseph couldn't, he was in prison. And he could sit there and say, man, I lost my youth. But you know what? He was still faithful to God. And when Pharaoh brought him in, he said, I can't do anything, but God can give you an answer. That just shows you where his heart was with God. He never, ever, ever lost faith in his Savior. Have you ever lost faith in your Savior? I don't know why this keeps happening. Man, that happened to me just the other day. I get frustrated. I do. And you know, usually when I talk like that, I think I'm talking to the wall, but really my heart is just coming out in anger towards God. You did that? Yeah, I did. I mean, there's no reason to deny it. He knows. So what lying about it's not going to help me. He's not going to say, oh, well, just I didn't mean to do it. I didn't know I was doing it. But after in retrospect, I'm sitting there thinking, who am I yelling at? My wife? No. Me? No, because my wife or I could do nothing about it. There's only one person that could do something about it. Oh, I would never do that. You're a liar. You're a liar. And God's never going to do anything in your life until you get honest with yourself. Thinking you're holier than thou. Hogwash and applesauce, you aren't. Those kind of people that think they're holy need to be deholified so they can get holy. Sorry, I got a little indignated there. But I've done that several times. Frustration. Why is this always happening to me? Who am I talking to? Well, the one that I put my life and trust and all of my cares upon, that's the one I'm really talking to. I don't sit there and say, I'm talking to you, God. That's not what I'm doing. But my heart is coming out in a very ungodly way. And I'm totally, always wrong. So what do? Hey, Dad. Sure, I'm sorry. I don't even think I really feel that way, but it sure did sound bad, and I'm asking you to forgive me. You know what he does? Okay. Every time. Stop living on a high horse. Stop thinking that you're better than you are. We're all sinners, saved by grace. I'm not giving me an excuse. I'm not giving me a pass because it's wrong, and God knows I need to work on it. That's kind of what Joseph could have done to Pharaoh. Heard you can interpret dreams. A lot of good that does me. Last time I did that, I still didn't stay in prison for 2 years. I ain't doing nothing. He could have been angry. Could have been bitter. Every time I do something good, it ends up falling out from under me, and I end up in a worse place than I started. I'll just stay here. Thank you very much. But he didn't. Because he totally trusted the Lord through the whole thing. I'm not saying he didn't have bad days. I'm not saying he didn't cry himself to sleep. And I'm not saying he didn't have concerns. And I'm not saying he didn't talk to God and say, I don't know what's going on. And God was just quiet. And he just nudged Joseph's heart and says, just trust me, Joseph. I have what's best in store for you. Just trust me. And you and I, we need to get to that place too, that when bad things happen, yet, like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's a good place to be. God deserves all the credit. Well, good to know. Number 4, God gets all the credit. Verse 38, Pharaoh said, for as much as God hath showed thee all of this. Joseph says, I can't do anything, but God can. All right, here's the dream. All right, here, let me tell you what the dream is. And Pharaoh said, as much as God hath given you the answer. Pharaoh gives God the proper credit. God deserves credit. I want to live my life in a way that the world knows God gets glory. I want to live my life in a way that the world knows that Nathan is a servant of the Lord, that God gets all the glory for whatever happens with Nathan's life, Nathan's family's life, or any ministry that Nathan's hands touch. I want God to get the glory. That's why this park over here is a big issue for me. This park over here is a big issue for me because I don't want to interfere. I want everybody to say, man, Victory Baptist Church has that park. How did that happen? God. I mean, we don't know anybody that said anything to anybody, that did anything to anybody, that finagled this or finagled that, or God just did it. I don't want anybody to have any human reason why we have that park. I want it to all be God, and I want Him to get all the credit and all the glory because that's what it's going to be. And I believe that with all of my heart. And that's what I'm praying to. That's why I haven't gone to the city council. I haven't gone to the city council. I'm not saying that God won't tell me to go to the city council. I just haven't. I'm just letting God do it. God's going to figure it out if He's going to promise it. Now, He don't want us to be lazy, not do our part, not pray, and all that stuff. And I'm willing to be the hands, the feet, the voice, whatever I need to be. But I'm just telling you, I want God to get all the credit and all the glory. Do you want God to get all the credit and all the glory in your life, or do you want some of it? God gets all the credit. I want the world to know who God is. Finally, I want you to see God was always with Joseph. Always. In the pit, in Potiphar's house, in prison, and now in the palace, God was always with Joseph. Notice how things worked out for Joseph. Joseph becomes second in command. Joseph finds the love of his life. Joseph has two children. He names them appropriately. And Joseph had all the respect of all the world. Everybody that wanted anything to eat in those 7 years of famine came to Joseph. The Bible didn't say that just the land of Egypt had a famine. This was a famine, the Bible says, all over. That means right here in the great state of West Virginia, there was a famine during Joseph's days. A famine. You couldn't even go across the continent to find food. There was only one answer, and that was Joseph. Just like there's only one answer to eternal food, and that's Jesus. I mean, you can really take Joseph's life and you can compare it to the Savior, and you can find some great comparisons that Jesus wanted us to see in the Old Testament and then fulfilled them in the New Testament. His end is better than his beginning. I want that to be for my life too, don't you? I want to be faithful. I want to handle everything right. I certainly want to handle adversity right. And God's still working with me on that. I want my end to be better than my beginning. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you? We can. Trust Him. He'll see you through. Joseph's life came to pass. It came to pass. 452 times in the English Bible, the phrase, "and it came to pass," is used. 452 times. "And it came to pass." And it came to pass. You know why God uses it 452 times? Because it came to pass. And I want you to know that everything in your life is going to come to pass too. Everything. The valleys that you're in, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. The mountaintops you're on, it'll come to pass. It always comes to pass. The health issues you're fighting, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Either God will take the health issues away from you, or He'll take you away from the health issues, but it'll come to pass. It always comes to pass. And I want you to know in Joseph's life, it came to pass. 13 years, almost half of his life was misery. And then it got really, really good. And for the rest of his life, it was really, really good. It just got better and better. Not that he was seeking revenge, but he got a little, play a little trick on his brothers. He got to meet his dad again. He got to see his dad bless his sons. I mean, his life got really, really good. Even better than this. Hey, God is working. God deserves our best. God deserves the credit. God should get the credit. And God is always with you. This is what I find in Genesis chapter 41. I hope it blesses your heart.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.